And if you know much about a mantle, we've been talking about it a little bit. When Elijah left, that one of the biggest references in Scripture is when Elijah went up into went to heaven in the whirlwind and his mantle fell. Elisha picked it up and he had asked and prayed for a double portion. And so throughout Scriptures, through in that transition, we're moving into, still in 2 Kings. If you got your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read a story. It's actually probably one of my, and I know I've said this numerous times because I have a lot. How many of you are like me? You say, every time you start hearing a Bible story, you say, oh, that's my favorite. And then you hear another one, you go, oh, that's my favorite. You know what I'm talking about? I say that a lot. I love the story of Jonah. I love the book of Judges. But as far as another story goes, this is one of my favorite when it comes to faith. And you will not find stronger faith, I believe, in Scriptures than you see in the Shunammite woman. And we're going to talk about her. I'll get to that in just a second. But I don't know about you, but me, myself, and I have a bad habit of answering people when they ask, how are you? I say, oh, I'm fine. Anybody? You could have the worst day in the world and you still say, I'm fine. You could have a fantastic, fabulous, wonderful day and you say, I'm fine. I have a bad habit of doing that, and I think many of us do. And I think we answer this way. We don't want to explain how we're actually doing, or we just don't want to have a long conversation with the person that asked. Right? Am I wrong? I think everybody would agree. And other times we are just pretending to be okay. Right? Other times we're saying, I'm fine. We're not, but we're pretending. The Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, can I just tell you, she wasn't pretending. She knew her son was dead, yet when asked how things were, she replied, everything is all right. She wasn't speaking denial. She was speaking in genuine faith. And I believe there's a distinct difference between lying about your situation and trusting God with your situation. Amen? See, lying says nothing's wrong when everything is wrong. But faith says something is wrong, but I know God is greater than what is wrong. Amen? Faith never asks us to ignore reality. It asks us to look beyond reality to the God who has authority over it. Amen? So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. I love this story, and I believe you will enjoy, I think you will love this story after today as well. Look at verse 8. It says, one day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. And one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, I want somebody just to name their child Gehazi. That'd be a fun name. Anyway, call the Shunammite. So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son and her husband is old." And then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. Verse 16, "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son just as Elisha had told her. And the child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." And after the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. And she called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" Listen to what she says. "Everything is all right," she said. And when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." Verse 28, "Did I ask you for a son, my lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. And Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. And when she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Let's just take a moment. Let's look at some facts from this story. Remember, I said there was a distinct difference between lying about your situation and trusting God about your situation. A big difference, right? Lying, it ignores the facts. Faith acknowledges the facts. What are they? The Shunammite woman didn't deny that her son had died. She laid his body on Elisha's bed. She saddled a donkey. She traveled to find the prophet. Every action that she took, it acknowledged the seriousness of the situation. Also, faith isn't blind. It sees the problem clearly. Amen? Another thing, lying stops with the facts. Faith remembers the promise. The facts said her son was dead. The promise said God had given her that son. Faith doesn't deny the facts. It refuses to believe the facts have the final word. Are you listening to me this morning? Lying avoids reality. Faith takes reality to God. Some people think positive thinking is enough. They repeat phrases hoping they become true. The Shunammite woman didn't simply repeat words. She moved toward the man of God. Her declaration, "It is well," was backed by her action. Real faith doesn't just speak differently, but it walks differently. Amen? So, another thing, faith is not pretending there isn't a mountain in front of you. Faith is believing that the God who made the mountain is greater than the mountain. Hey, man. So how did the Shunammite woman's faith get to this point in her life? I don't believe that it was just something that just happened overnight. Do you? I believe that there was a time that she spent in the Word. She spent talking to God. She spent with the man of God. Faith is a process in all of us, isn't it? Hebrews reminds us of what faith is. It says in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." I believe that we can look at this story of the Shunammite woman, and each of us can allow our faith to grow. Amen? So here are three things about that, having your faith grow, that I want you to grab a hold of this morning, and I want you to let it work in your life. Number one, faith serves before it sees. Before the Shunammite woman ever needed a miracle, she was generous. What'd she do? In verse 10 of our text, it says, "Let's make a small room on the roof and put in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." Now let me just stop. I'm not telling you to go build a room in your house for the prophet, for an evangelist. That's not what I'm asking. But she was generous with what she had. She had the means. They were well off. It tells us that she was well off. So she had the means to. This wasn't just something that people did back then. They just didn't add things. But she had the means to do it. So she extended onto her house a room that the evangelist, every time that he would pass through there, he had a place to stay. How many knows that if you travel, and I'm sure it was similar back then as it is every time you stay somewhere, hotel rooms are expensive, aren't they? For one night, y'all remember when you could go to the Motel 6 and stay for $30 a night? Guess what? Even the Motel 6 ain't cheap no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it gets expensive to stay somewhere. And so I'm sure as Elisha traveled, because he went all over. He was the prophet. He went all over, and so it was an opportunity for him to have a place that he knew that he could depend on, that he could rely on, that anytime he was in town that he could go to that room and he could stay, he could rest as he made his journey across the land. There was always this place to stay. And so by doing this, not only does she honor Elisha, but she's honoring God because she has prepared this place for God's chosen man who's going about doing the work. And she did this and expected nothing in return. This was an act of faith. She was a woman of faith. She believed in providing and take caring of those that did the Lord's work. She was generous with what she had. This is an act of faith. This is faith that's activated in her long before there was a crisis that would take place in her life. And so she wanted to give with what she had. And many people, we want God when trouble comes, but that we ignore him when life is good. right? Man, everything's going good in my life right now. Things are going good. I've got money. I've got a job. I've got a roof over my head. I got all these things. And so life is good right now. So I'm good. I don't need God. But then as soon as the first crisis hits, what happens? We're getting on the phone. We're calling God up, aren't we? Hey, God, I need you. See, her faith started long before the crisis came, right? She had a relationship. She wanted to make sure the man of God was in her home. She wanted to make sure that he was with her. That Elisha represented the presence of God because he was the prophet at the time. He was going around talking about God, sharing what God was speaking through him, using him. And this Shunammite woman, she had already built a place for God's presence before the storm ever arrived. That's why it's so important that we find that secret place. We find that time every single week, every single day, to find time, to spend time talking to the Father, talking to God. Create that private place, that private time where we go to the Father and we are in constant communication. Because see, when we have that time and our faith grows and our faith builds, then we don't have to worry when the crisis comes, because we know that God can take care. He can meet our needs. He can be the provision that we need. Why? Because we've been in that secret place. We've been spending time with the Father. Amen. We cannot neglect the private time. And it's so important that we do not neglect the secret place. Faith does not keep you from the battles. It just helps you to get through the battles. Do you hear me? Right? Faith does not keep you from the battles. It just helps you to get through the battles. Your faith is strengthened in the secret place. And it's in those times in private where our faith is lifted that prepares us for public battles. Number two, faith doesn't let the promise die. See, because of her generosity, Elisha wants to do something for the woman. He sees that she's giving of herself, giving of her time, giving of her property. She's generous. She was content with where God had placed her, but one thing that she had wanted for a while and had given up on was having a son. So 1 year from that moment, she had a son. This was a promised son. And one day, the son is out in the field with his father, and he cries out, "My head, my head," and they take the son to his mother, and he ends up dying on her lap. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine this mother's grief. You've wanted something for a long time. I mean, you've wanted something for so long that you've given up hope for this, and you become content. And then all of a sudden the prophet says, "Hey, you're going to have a son." And then what happens? The son passes. But she doesn't fret. She takes the son, lays him on the prophet's bed. She saddles a donkey to go and meet the prophet. And as she's preparing to go, her husband asks, "Why are you going today?" Her response to him is, "It's all right. It's all right." And she leaves. And then as she approaches the prophet, Elisha sees her in the distance. He sends Gehazi to go and see if all is right. And her response to Gehazi is, "Everything is what? Everything's all right. It's okay." Notice what the woman doesn't say. She doesn't announce defeat. She doesn't hold a funeral. She doesn't complain. She doesn't cry out in anger. She doesn't just quit, but she carries the problem to the only one who can solve it. See, faith isn't pretending nothing happened. We know something has happened, right? The Shunammite woman knows something has happened. This was her promised son that has died. Even when she sees the prophet, she says in verse 28, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" She said, "Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes?" So she has refused to stop at the bad news. I want you to know, faith refuses to stop at the bad news. Amen? We get bad news all the time. Sometimes the enemy wants you to bury what God intends to resurrect. The enemy's strategy is always to convince you that what God has promised is permanently lost. He whispers, it's over, move on, get up, accept it. But God often says, don't bury it yet, I'm not finished. Amen? And she didn't prepare a funeral. She didn't call the mourners. She didn't dig a grave. Instead, what does she do? She carried her dead son into the prophet's room, laid him on the bed. Why is it? It's because she believed the place where the promise began was also the place where God could restore it. Amen? And that's what faith does. Faith refuses to put a period where God has only placed a comma. And there are things that we bury too quickly. Sometimes we bury a calling because of one failure. Sometimes we bury a marriage because of one painful season. Sometimes we bury a dream because of one disappointment. And sometimes we bury a ministry because of criticism. Sometimes we bury a prayer because God didn't answer on our timetable. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes we bury a prayer because God didn't answer on our timetable. Sometimes we bury a relationship because of one misunderstanding. Here's the thing, the enemy loves premature funerals. He wants you to declare dead what God still calls possible. God looks at situations and says, it's not dead yet. Trust me. Don't confuse delay with death. You hear what I'm saying? Don't confuse delay with death. Just because you haven't seen movement doesn't mean God isn't moving. Think about this for just a seed. It's buried before it produces life. Lazarus spent 4 days in a tomb before Jesus called him out. What'd Jesus say? Well, yeah, but before that, he said, it's not time yet. You got to wait until I get there for the miracle to take place. Did we ever stop to think for just a moment that people had to see Lazarus come from the dead to know who Jesus was? Just because it doesn't happen in our timing doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Amen? The valley in Ezekiel's vision was full of dry bones until what? God breathed life into them. The cross looked like the end on Friday, but what happened on Sunday? What happened on Sunday proved God specializes in resurrection. So I want you to ask yourself these questions this morning. What have you already buried in your heart? What promise have you stopped praying about? What dream have you decided is impossible? What relationship have you concluded can never be restored? Maybe what you've labeled dead is simply waiting for God's timing, right? Don't bury what God is still breathing on. Don't write the obituary for a promise that God has every intention of bringing back to life. Number three. Faith refuses to let go until God moves. See, when she reaches the man of God, Elisha, she grabs hold of him and doesn't let go. Gehazi tries to push her away, but Elisha lets her stay. And then she says in verse 30, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Her miracle wasn't in the servant. It wasn't in the staff. It was in staying close to God's presence. Amen? And see, when the death of her son came, instead of withdrawing from God, what did she do? She drew closer to God. She wanted nothing more than to be in the presence of God. Elisha wasn't God, but he represented the presence of God. Now, don't let disappointment separate you from God. Amen? How often do we get to the edge of a miracle and then we just quit? We're right there. We just quit. The place where most people quit is often where miracles begin. She never gave up on the fact that her son was dead. She moved towards the presence of God. She knew that God was the only one that could save her son. That brings me to my fourth and final point. Faith sees resurrection where others see an ending. Elisha, what does he do? He sends Gehazi ahead of them with his staff, and that doesn't work. Elisha comes personally. He stretches himself over the child, and what happens? Life returns to the child. This Shunammite woman, she falls before God in worship. She leaves carrying the very thing that she thought she had lost forever. God doesn't always work instantly. Sometimes he works personally. Sometimes he works progressively. But one thing is definitely for certain, he is always faithful. Amen? God is always faithful. And you have to see the miracle in this story. It isn't only that a boy lived again. The miracle was that a mother never stopped believing. Never once did the woman confess defeat, did she? Never once. When asked, she would always say, "It is all right." She never abandoned hope. She always knew that if she could get into the presence of God, there is always hope. She never quit pursuing God. And while everyone else saw death, she kept saying, "Everything is all right." And it wasn't because everything was right, but she knew the one who could make it right. That's the difference. So where are you at today? Has your faith been rocked lately? Have you found yourself knocking on death's door? Are you facing some setbacks? Where are you at? I want you to know today is a new day. Amen? Today is the day to start again. Today is the day to build your faith before the crisis comes. And I want you to know that it's so important that we as believers, that we don't let temporary setbacks rewrite all of God's promises. You know how many times that I have felt like God told me something and I didn't see it fulfilled for a while? There's things that I feel like God has told me that I still haven't seen fulfilled yet. I mean, but I don't give up hope, right? If God made a promise to me, why would I give up hope? Why would I stop and say, "Oh yeah, I guess it's not going to happen. I guess I didn't hear God." There will be times when life doesn't make sense. You ever been there? You're just not going to understand. See, it's in those times that you must stay close to God. And it's so important that you speak faith before you ever see the miracle. I believe, you know, like you say, I believe that God wants to. I feel like God has told me or promised me X, Y, Z, whatever that may be. Then see it through. Walk in that faith. Believe in that faith. Speak faith. Because, see, God's final word, it's greater than your current circumstances. Amen? When God makes the final declaration, that's far greater than anything that you could be going through. And let me close with this morning. What promise have you stopped believing? And here's the thing. Only you can answer this question. You know the promises that God has given you. You know what God has told you. Some of you, you feel like God has spoken something over you, to you, whatever it is. You just, in a prayer time or whatever, you felt God speak something to you. And maybe it's been a while and you have just stopped believing it. Let me just share something. Y'all know my story, most of you do. I was a youth pastor at a church. I was fired. We took 2 months, found another position, went to another church, was there 4 months. The pastor resigned that brought us in. New pastor comes in, spends a lot of money, and they had to fire us again. So two youth pastor jobs, fired. So we decided that we're going to come back home. We come back home. Oh, this is in Florida. The last place we were at. We were in Florida. Basically, the church gave us an offering that morning. It took pretty much everything between that and a yard sale to come back home. If you rented a moving truck, travel 18 hours across the country, it's not cheap, okay? And that was in early 2000, so or middle 2000. So that should tell you. So we get back home. It took us. Kelly got a temp job. I finally got a job in the middle. That's 2001. It was in the middle of 9/11. I'm trying to get a job. Y'all know what happened during 9/11. Everything shuts down. The mail shuts down. I had a drug test. They were waiting to come back so they could hire me. So we're going through all this, you know, and it's just like, man, God, what's going on? We moved back to Fort Smith thinking that we would only be here 60 days, 90 days. That was in 2001. Okay? We thought God's going to give us another assignment. We're going to go somewhere else. So, we knew we had to get our life going. We had to get jobs. We had, you know, we had an apartment that we rented. And so we just started working and doing, we found a church to be a part of and just waiting. And, you know, being a minister, I wanted to be in ministry. Before I came to this church, we were out of full-time ministry for 7 years. But I knew that God had promised me that I was to be in ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that I helped in churches. I still was active. I still did things. But I wasn't a pastor. Does that make sense? I wasn't in full-time ministry. I knew I was called. I felt like I was called. I felt like God had told me when I started out in ministry. And in those 7 years, you get frustrated after a while, don't you? When you think, God, you know, God, I don't understand this. Why am I here? Why am I still here? Why am I going? You know, and the funny part was I really freaked my wife out when I told her we had been here at this point probably a couple of years, maybe three. Maylee was born at this point. We were living in an apartment over in Van Buren. And I said, Kelly, I think we need to buy a house here. She goes, what? You have to understand at this point, we had never lived anywhere for more than it felt like we had moved six times in 6 years at this point. So we felt like we're just gonna move every year. That's what that was part of our life. You know what I mean? We're just gonna move all the time. And so when I told my wife, hey, I feel like we're supposed to buy a house, that made her more nervous than telling her that we're gonna move again. Moving was easy. You know what I mean? You just pack up the U-Haul and go to the next place. You pack up a truck, whatever, and you move. But when I told her, hey, we're going to buy a house, she just, what? I said, yeah, I really feel like God's telling us to buy a house. I don't know why. And I mean, we're like 3 years into, and four, maybe four, don't know anything. There's no ministry opportunities coming open. I mean, we've looked, we've searched. There's nothing that God was just moving us to a place. I knew that I wanted to pastor a church. I knew, you know, and all I knew was God was telling me to buy a house in Van Buren, Arkansas. Out of all places, I had no desire to live there, you know. And so we did it. We were able to buy a house. At that point, Maylee turned one. We moved into the house, and we lived in that house for 9 years. And the first few years, it was like, God, why, what am I doing here? When are, you know, and then one day, you know, this came available and we was like, hey, I feel like God's calling us to, we felt like God was calling us to Fort Smith. We had no idea. Because you have to understand, Kelly grew up here and we never planned on staying here long. Remember when we moved here, it was for 6 months and we were going to be out. And now that was in 2001, and now we've been here. This is what year? 2026? Yeah, August will be 25 years that we've been in this area. Can I just say, you never know the plans that God has. God, He works things out. And all we have to do is we just have to have the faith to trust Him. We don't have to understand everything. I didn't want to come back to Fort Smith. I was living in beautiful Florida. Anybody ever been to Florida? Man, it's like, we're still saying that if we, you know, someday if we got the money, we're retiring in Florida, you know, because we love it. We were only there a year and we absolutely loved it. When we came back, we're like, God, why you brought us all the way back to Fort Smith? Why? It's because there was going to be a congregation open up in 7 years that needed a pastor, but God had to do a lot of things in this boy before he could do this. You get what I'm saying? Y'all see where I'm at? You understand what we don't understand? What is it the Bible says? His ways are not our ways, right? Why? Because He knows what's best for us. And so what faith tells us is faith tells us that no matter what may become, no matter what may be declared hopeless or what we're going through in our life, that we've already placed the last nail in the coffin and we believe that it's completely hopeless. All these things, we just put our faith in God and put our trust in Him. Ask yourself this question: what would change if you began speaking faith instead of fear? God, I know you have plans for me. You know, I don't know what God has planned for you. I don't know what will happen tomorrow or the next day. But I do know the one thing that will be with you tomorrow or the next day. And that's the Father. God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You know, I believe we can learn a lot from the Shunammite woman. Think about your circumstances for a moment. You can acknowledge the reality of your circumstances while trusting the God who has the final word. I can look at my situation and know that I'm back in Fort Smith for some reason that I have no idea, but I know that God's in control, right? Faith doesn't deny the problem. It declares that the problem is not the end of the story. That's what we can look forward to. When God has made a promise, you can keep moving toward Him and you can confidently say everything is all right because His faithfulness is greater than your present reality. Amen? Can we pray? Father, I just thank you. God, there are some people here today that they may not understand what they're going through.